The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille.
Welcome to this special Italian Wine Podcast broadcast. This episode is a recording off Clubhouse, the popular drop-in audio chat. This Clubhouse session was taken from the Wine Business Club and Italian Wine Club. Listen in as wine lovers and experts alike engage in some great conversation on a range of topics in wine. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. And remember to subscribe and rate our show wherever you tune in.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Clubhouse Ambassadors Corner. So we don't have a lot of people from the audience, but we are recording this and it goes live on Italian Wine Podcast. So by the way, this Clubhouse is actually our 138th episode. So it's been a while now that we were doing this, but you know, this is the favorite show on Italian Wine Podcast. So it's really a labor of love, and we're so happy that everyone is really listening to our podcast. So it's on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your pods, even in Himalaya. So we're also there. Okay, so today our guest is Francesca Paladin from Castello Bonomi. So we have Anna Obulskaya as our moderator for today. So welcome back, Anna. How are you?
Ciao, Laika. Hi, everyone. I'm very good. Thank you so much. Looking forward to talk with Francesca about Franciacorta.
Yes, exactly. So before I dive in and talk more about Anna with you, I wanted to introduce you to our guest. So here we have Anna. She obtained 14 years of expertise in wine retail, marketing, and sales, worked in a number of bigger companies and independent projects, founded the Italian Wine Tasting Club. So actually, I remember we were talking about wine tasting clubs in general. So can you share more about your experience about this and how it ever started? I remember you shared that you started like falling in love or getting bitten by the wine bug by joining wine clubs.
Yeah, I was not interested in wine until I was 26 when I joined a wine company, and then we just had this education, like the first entry level course about wine in general, and then I got light in my eyes about wines in general, and actually then I thought that it would be great to learn more and share info about great wines with other enthusiasts. So I think I've started 3 different wine clubs in each city I lived in. The last one was dedicated to Italy, uh-huh. to Italian wines. And now we're having this club in Ljubljana, where I live now in Slovenia. Okay. So yeah, we're introducing international wines to Slovenes mostly, wow. or tourists of Ljubljana. So
in this wine club that you have in Ljubljana, how many members are there now?
We have around 100 single visits, let's say. Well, membership is a bit less at about 40 right. people, but we're doing this clubs already for more than a year, slightly more than a year. Wow. And it's really great marketing tool. I hope I will have a chance to share this info, to share the inspiration.
I actually like this medium of wine clubs. Like, you know, it really gets you into, I mean, it doesn't make you scared to embrace wine as it is, because you know that everyone are enthusiasts, and then there's no, you know, no snobbery or whatsoever, and then you get to be introduced with wines you like or discover together. So that's really amazing.
Some magic of people tasting the same wine in the same time, you know. I can compare it to a concert, you know, when people listen to the same music, and this is a special vibe. Mm-hmm. So when people taste the same wine, like, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 people in the same room, and they share and they discuss, it just makes it such a different experience than just tasting at home together or with a small group of friends. And it's really interesting when there's somebody who is very enthusiastic about wine, shares all these details, tells stories. It makes it a whole different experience, actually.
Yeah, I'm actually curious now to ask, have you ever introduced the wines of Francesca of Castello Bonomi to your wine club?
No, I don't think so. But I was really fascinated by her wines, and I will tell later how it happened.
Okay. So why did you select Francesca Paladin as your favorite producer for today?
Well, since we visited Franciacorta area with other ambassadors a year and a half ago, I consider myself an ambassador of Franciacorta, you know, since we did this deep dive into the area and special cuisine, and we visited some great producers and had an amazing tasting. I think in 3 days, we managed to taste around 60 wines of different vintages of different producers. So I consider myself a person to share all the specific features of Franciacorta with other enthusiasts and just tell more about great producers such as Castello Bonomi.
Right. When you visited Franciacorta, as you mentioned, was it also the first time that you tasted the wines of Castello Bonomi?
No. I first learned about Francesca's wines in St. Petersburg in 2019. I think it was a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah. Vinitaly came with a big tasting session. You know, it was held in the center in a really beautiful hotel, in Kempinski Hotel. It was a professional round tasting. So pretty much all of the experts, specialists from wine industry were there. And there was this table with Franciacorta. And this category in 2019, it was even more in the shade than now. So there was a table of Castello Bonomi, and I tasted their labels, and I was especially fascinated with rosé wine, which is still my favorite rosé Franciacorta. You know, I was just sharing with other specialists, with other colleagues about it, and there was a rumor going on in this round taste, and like, did you try it? Go taste it. It's really good. It's so interesting because it was not really in the center. You know, people were mostly interested in bigger brands and in more famous labels. But then with the spread of word, people were really going towards this corner with Castello Bonomi wines. And so then I was lucky to visit Castello Bonomi a few years after. And I met Francesca, and we had a really nice visit to the cellar. We met the enologist, the winemaker also. So we saw the vineyard. So it was like completing the full experience.
Yeah. It's completing the curiosity from, you know, people telling, hey, try this wine. I've tried the wine.
It's amazing.
Oh, it drove you to try the wines of Francesca.
Exactly. To me, still, Castello Bonomi entry-level Franciacorta, which is Cuvée 22, to my opinion, this is one of the best entry-levels Franciacorta on the market.
Okay. Wow.
Because, we tasted a lot, and we discussed also with other ambassadors, and it's not only my opinion. So, you know, it's always very tricky when you taste different Franciacortas from different producers. You don't really know where to stick to, either bigger brands or smaller producers. So, you know, I would suggest if you haven't tried this one,
we'll try it.
A good one to start with.
Yes. Okay. You got me there.
Okay.
Now we have our ambassadors here. So welcome everyone. I'm happy to see Lan here, and also Hugh, Zita, Nicole, and Elena. So thank you so much for listening in. Since we have our ambassadors here, I wanted to ask, what are the learning objectives of this interview?
I would like us to discuss the special features of Franciacorta, and especially the challenges that this area is facing now, that the challenges for producers that they face, and speak a bit more about the place of Franciacorta on the market, you know, or even in the hearts of wine enthusiasts.
Okay, so now this is the moment that I'm going to mute myself, and I will leave the floor to you and Francesca.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Ciao, Francesca. Welcome to the clubhouse.
Ciao Anna, thank you so much and thank you for having me here. It's great to be here.
Just a few words before we begin this interview, just a few words about Francesca. So she represents the third generation of Casa Paladin Winery, and she grew up in this winery doing every sort of task from harvesting to bottling to retail. And then she graduated in international economics, master's degree in international management, and sommelier with Fisar Association. So after her studies, she immediately got into the heart of the winery, initially to support the domestic commercial office and then managing marketing and export to foreign markets, such as US and a part of Germany. Is that right, Francesca?
Yeah, so we are a family from Veneto region, from Casa Paladin.
So you actually, due to your job, you must be doing a lot of travels to United States, these long flights.
Yeah, sure. But it's what I love the most of my job, like knowing different kind of cultures and see also how different people like our wines and what they think also about the different regions. It's very fascinating.
Yes, indeed. I think when you tell about Franciacorta, you tell about your region, you just understand it from a different angle also.
Yeah, that's true. Also because in Italy, we are like so used to all these different areas and different production. But when you go to another country, you have to like think in another way, as people don't know so much about Franciacorta. So it's also a nice challenge to face every time to try to get people involved also in Franciacorta.
Yeah, so, okay. So my first question would be about the story behind Castello Bonomi. Could you please share it? How it all started and how old it is, how many years wines are produced in Castello Bonomi?
Yeah, sure. So coming from Veneto, we have our historical family winery here since 1962 in Veneto region, producing mainly Prosecco. So we don't start as producers of Franciacorta. But in year 2000, actually the people that were tasting more Franciacorta in all Italy were people from Veneto region. And this is because we start with the Prosecco. So we are used also to taste bubbles and to have them also during our meals. And so then we want to look for something more, something different. And we ended up being the region that was drinking and tasting the most Franciacorta in all Italy. And so this is why we thought that this could be a trend that would go over not just Veneto, but also to all Italy and maybe all the world. And so this is why we started looking for a winery, Franciacorta. And in 2008, we acquired Castello Bonomi.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And when I visited your estate, I saw there is a very beautiful historical house, like a villa or actually the castello, yeah, the castle. Can you please tell a story behind this building, what it is when it was found and why your winery is called after this castello?
Are you enjoying this podcast? There is so much more high-quality wine content available from Mama Jumbo Shrimp. Check out our new wine study maps, our books on Italian wine, including Italian Wine Unplugged, The Jumbo Shrimp Guide to Italian Wine, Sangiovese Lambrusco and Other Stories, and much, much more on our website, mamajumboshrimp.com. Now back to the show.
Yeah, sure. So Castello Bonomi it's actually the only chateau in Franciacorta, and it dates back to the 18th century. And it was designed from a famous architect, which was the architect Tagliaferri, and it was owned by a family that was the Tonelli family. Then the ownership went to the Bonomi family. And the Bonomi family in 1985 started also Castello Bonomi as winery, as their own winery that they used for their customers. And then in 2008, we acquired the winery. So the castle, it's still owned also from the Bonomi family. And also another thing really nice about the castle is that there's a century-old park, really, really nice, where there are also like the highest vineyards that we have. And here there's also a mini-size reproduction of the Garda Lake and also of the Cervino Mountain.
The area is truly beautiful. It's this big hill, or I would say even a mountain. How high it is? What's the altitude there, Francesca?
Yeah, the mountain, it's the Monte Orfano. And it's 275 meters above the sea level. So it's also quite high. And it's like a sort of microzone in the Francia Corterra. So it was the first mountain that was created in all Lombardy.
Yeah, it really looks beautiful. And this Castello Bonomi, you can see it from the distance when approaching. When you drive on the road, you're approaching the estate and you already see this beautiful castello. So yeah, if you're in this Iseo area, don't miss and come visit. It's very interesting. So what I wanted to ask you next is, could you please tell us about most important factors of quality of Franciacorta? What are they, to your point?
Yeah, in my opinion, the most important factors for quality could be the respect of the terroir of Franciacorta, which is, I think, quite really important for all the wines. So how you can highlight the terroir where you are in the best way. Looking also for, if we are talking about Franciacorta, you would like to look for persistent wine, a great perlage, and also a great longevity, which I think it's also the main characteristic we have at Castello Bonomi with our Franciacorta, and part also of our style and our philosophy of production. And also I think it's very important in general for the production of Metodo Classico to have someone like our chef de cave that's able to highlight at best also every single vintage.
Yeah, you have quite an impressive line of wines, I must say, also aged Franciacorta. Speaking of challenges, so what are they now? Probably since the climate changed so much in the past decades, how the approach of the wine making changed? What do you need to do to maintain freshness, to keep the style of Franciacorta more or less same?
Yes, to face the climate change, the consortium of Franciacorta has been doing a great research. Since 2017, they introduced also a new grape variety. And as Castello Bonomi, we were really part of the research. We're five wineries in all the consortium. And so we planted some vines of Erbamat, and we were part of this research. So Erbamat, it's an indigenous grape, really important for climate change because it has a great acidic component, which is one of the main features that you want in a good Franciacorta. And also because the problems with the climate change in Franciacorta area, it's the fact that you could lose the acidity of the grape if the temperature would get too high. And this Erbamat would prevent the losing of this acidity. So since it's a grape that you harvest 1 month later than Chardonnay and Pinot Nero, it's really important for this factor. And then in Castello Bonomi, we also look at other aspects. So for example, to the carbon footprint. So we already we're measuring the carbon footprint, trying to reduce it. We changed the type of glass we use for the bottles also to be more sustainable. We are developing some photovoltaic panels also to produce our own energy. And also one of the most important things for us, it's the concept of biodiversity, which is now really part of the concept of the terroir. Usually you think of the terroir as with three different main aspects, which are the land, the microclimate, and the human factor. Right now it's becoming more and more important, and also part of the terroir, also the biodiversity, which is present in the winery and the actions that you want to do at the winery to have a more biodiversity.
Yeah, okay. Francesca, can you please remind what is the maximum percentage of yerba mate to be added in Franciacorta?
Yeah, sure. The maximum percentage right now is at 10%. Probably will even grow in the future. But even with that 10%, you can really also define the wine. So since 2017, we added to the dosaggio zero. So in this way, with the zero sugar, you can feel even more the presence of the yerba mate. And also yerba mate, it's an indigenous and very ancient vineyard in Franciacorta, because the first time that was mentioned and recognized also as grape was in 1564. So really, really a long, long time ago, and really a historical kind of grape variety for Franciacorta area. So it's nice also to have a grape variety, which is also a local grape variety and unique for Franciacorta production.
I remember some producers said that yerba mate is lemonade because it's so acidic. It's really has high acidity, and even a small percentage really makes it different in the blend for Franciacorta. Yeah, because keeping freshness is quite critical for the quality. But in the area where you're located, is it mostly sunny or it's mostly humid? What's the temperature usually? Is it a really hot area, or how can you specify?
Yeah, it's quite a hot area. And Monte Orfano Terroir, it's also quite unique area of Franciacorta. So it's the rest of Franciacorta has a morainic origin, while the Monte Orfano has a tectonic origin. So it's made with a calcareous conglomerate, and the microclimate it's a lot more Mediterranean. So for example, we have caper plants which are naturally growing there, which are most more typical like for the south of Italy than for Lombardy usually. Since we have this microclimate, we usually harvest also really early. So we would harvest at the really first days of August. And so this is why also the acidity is so important for us. Since we are in this Monte Orfano with calcareous conglomerate, we have a lot of freshness also and great acidity in the wines. And this is why also we can keep them for a long, long time on the lees.
This is really, really interesting what you're explaining about terroir, because Franciacorta area is very much diverse in type of soil, in specific terroir. It's just so many different terroirs within one area. It's quite difficult to study, but it's also very interesting to observe once you're in the area. When you talk to foreigners about Franciacorta, what do you think are the main things they need to know?
I think when we talk about with the foreigners, we want to like keep it really simple. Also because, as you said, the terroir is really, really complex. So you want them to understand some of the main points about Franciacorta. So the first one, it's the Metodo Classico production. So the Franciacorta production and the second fermentation, so the second fermentation in bottle. Another thing you want them to understand, which is not like so easy, and sometimes people don't think about this, it's the term Franciacorta. So the fact that the term Franciacorta doesn't have anything to do like with France, but it comes from Corte Franca. So that was an era without any taxes because it was owned by the monks. Other things you want them to know, it's also the grapes that you use to produce Franciacorta. So that would be Pinot Nero, Chardonnay, Pinot Bianco up to 50%, and now up to 10% of Erba Mat.
Do you also talk to the people about the specifics of terroir, that it's morainic, that it's happened just because of the glaciers? Like, are people familiar with this kind of formation, and are they interested in learning more about soils, about the origin of terroir, in your personal experience, in your personal opinion? Are there many questions like that from the audience?
Well, yeah, it always depends where you are and who you're speaking to, if it's a general consumer or if it's someone that has a retail and knows already something about Franciacorta. But yeah, people are also interested on the soil, and we see more and more like people really focusing on the wanting to understand something new and know this kind of information. So for Castello Bonomi, what we want to communicate, and one of the most important things, it's the Monte Orfano terroir, which is really unique.
Yeah, thank you so much. But I wanted now to ask you about your duties at the winery. I mean, I know you're, well, already mentioned that you were export manager and you're dealing with the United States market and some part of German market, but I know you have other duties in the winery. You're a multitask person. Can you tell a bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. And then we have Castello Bonomi as winery, but we also have other wineries. So we have Paladina in Veneto region, Bosco del Merlo in Friuli, Castelvecchi in Chianti Classico, and Casalupo in Valpolicellera. So there are a lot of different wineries to manage. So I do the export for US for all of the wines. A lot of the time of my work, it's also to go there and to explain the wines to different types of consumers. And it's always like very nice to see what people think also about wines in Italy, and well, how their perception will change also from country to country and from era to era. Then other things I do, it's I'm in charge also of part of the marketing, which is also really important for us because one of the main things about our wines, it's also how we can communicate and how we get to know people all about our wines and all the efforts the enologists would do to produce them, and how we can get people to know something more also about the Monte Orfano terroir. And this is through different areas, so through digital marketing, but also talking to people and doing visits also. So a lot of different things.
Yeah, indeed. It takes a lot of effort to promote wines, especially from areas like Franciacorta that is not very well known. But what are the main markets for Franciacorta, do you think, right now? Where it's the biggest?
The main markets right now are Switzerland, Japan, US is definitely growing, and also Germany, because it's quite near. For us, these are the most important markets. And actually, we export 21% of our Franciacorta.
So the rest is being consumed in Lombardy, right? In French Quarter area.
Not just in French Quarter area, but also in all Italy. So it's all domestic market. Also both Milan and also Rome. It's very important for us, and also Veneto, as I told you before.
So it's mostly neighbors.
Yeah, sure.
Since, you know, Iseo Lake is such a great touristic destination, and especially for those who live in Milano, they come for vacation or for a weekend, and that's what made Franciacorta popular. It's like a vacation wine for those who live in Milano and in the area. But, you know, Since Iseo is such a great touristic destination, are there any hospitality facilities that you provide in Castello Bonomi?
We provide usually different kinds of tastings, so with different wines, with different kind of pairings, or also like the picnic in the vineyards, or we do like the yoga lessons and tastings. Or the treasure hunt also, which is also a nice way also to find a way like quite gaming, to do the tasting and also to do it in a kind more fun way, because also wine doesn't have always to be like just for professionals, but also a really easy thing to enjoy with friends. And we also have different collaboration with hotels near to us to provide also hospitality to tourists.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting, because once you're there, you just don't want to leave after one day. It's just so interesting to explore, to go to places. But what can you advise? What could be the good things to do in the area besides winery visits and tastings?
I think it's if someone is more sporty, there are also a lot of activities to do, like trekking on the hills, which is very, very nice. There's also like going with a horse on the hills, or also mountain biking. And also the consortium and the Strada del Franciacorta provides a lot of itineraries to do this kind of activities, which are really great. Or other things to do, it's to visit the Iseo Lake, which is awesome, and also the Montisola, or the Torbiere del Sebino, which is a nature kind of park and a natural reserve, which is also very nice to do, I don't know, bird watching or just to have a walk around. So yeah, there are a lot of different activities to do.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun, especially in the warm time of the year. From what is actually the best season to visit Franciacorta area, to your opinion?
I think also one of the best, if someone wants to come to visit Franciacorta, would be during the Franciacorta festival, which is mid-September, and it's really great because like everyone really would do different kinds of tasting, and all the wineries would be open for tasting, and also you can find a lot of different activities to do. So that would be really a great time to come.
Well, I don't think I've heard of that. It's that would be a nice to come for this festival. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, it's becoming more and more important, and there are people like from all over Italy coming just for the weekend of the festival.
Nice. And what I like about Iseo area, that it is very beautiful, but it's not as crowded as Garda Lake, for example. It's not as touristic. It's more cozy. I don't know.
More fan. It's like a small jewel.
Yeah, that people mostly avoid. They skip during the travel. But it's a huge mistake.
Yeah, also because it's really like easy to reach. Like it's 1 hour from Milan, so it's it's really easy to reach also like from the main cities. And there's also Brescia near, very near. So it's a nice place to visit.
One thing I remember that we were eating extremely well when we visited the area. Can you please tell us about some specific dishes or specific products of Franciacorta area?
Yeah, there are a lot of particular products of Franciacorta area. One of the most known products, it's also the spiedo bresciano or the manzo all'olio. So there are different kinds of meat, which are really, really great. And then there's also a lot of specific kind of fish coming from the lake, which are really awesome.
Yeah, fish I remember quite well because we were served a dish which was one of my favorite ones in the lifetime. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of lake fish. I prefer sea fish, but this lake fish was cooked with it was baked with breadcrumbs on top with butter, and that made it's such a great combination, you know, very creamy, you know, this meat of lake fish became so tasteful and just became so soft and tender with some herbs. So that was really delicious. That was something I wanted to repeat when I returned home, you know.
Yeah, probably was the salmerino, which is the name of this specific fish. Yeah, it's really, really good. Great.
And also, I remember about the food pairings that during our trip, we were with every meal, we were served only Franciacorta. And I noticed that it's actually very versatile in terms of food pairing, because it went well with tartare or with risotto or with lake fish or with any kind of finger food or starters. It's just so versatile, not only like Rosé Franciacorta, but just different cuvées, different
Cuisine
Franciacorta. Why do you think is that? What's the secret?
Yeah, I think it depends a lot on also the aging of different type of Franciacorta. So even we usually associate like bubbles or white wine with fish or vegetables. But in reality, when you have the right structure and you can really have it like also with Pinot Nero grapes, and long aging, you can pair it also with great meat dishes, and it's really incredible. So, for example, talking about Franciacorta, we have also some Franciacorta Riserva that have really, really long aging that usually you can pair also with meat. So, well, right now, this week actually, we are launching our new Franciacorta Riserva from 2004. So 2004 vintage would be 220 months on the lease. So that's an incredible Franciacorta with a great structure. And it's amazing because it's still like so fresh in taste that you could never tell that it's a 2004 vintage. So it's 20 years from the harvest. Yeah, and so it's incredible how these wines would evolve and have this incredible like complexity also.
That sounds really fascinating. Would you have this Franciacorta during Vinitaly?
Yeah, we will have it for sure. We just have in total 250 bottles. So it's a really small selection that we wanted to launch now just before Vinitaly. And it's just Pinot Nero grapes coming also from our oldest vines. which are from 30 to 40 years old wines with a great structure, great complexity. So at first, we came out with the first Franciacorta Lucrezia 2004 in 2010. But then since it was like so good, our chef de cave, Luigi Bersini, decided to keep also some bottles for longer aging. And so now, after 20 years from the harvest, we decide to release some other bottles of this incredible Lucrezia Etichetta Nera.
Am I right that this Lucrezia Etichetta Nera is your most renowned wine, the most awarded wine?
Yeah, in fact, in 2010, we acquired a lot of awards with the wine. So it was the Oscar del Vino, Tre Bicchieri, Quattro Viti Ice. So the most prestigious awards that we got were with that Lucrezia. So this is also one of the reasons why we decided to keep some bottles to age for a longer time. And then another wine, which was also really strongly awarded in more recent years, is the Cru Perdue Grande Annata 2016. So Cru Perdue, it's also one of the, I could say, flagship Franciacorta for Castello Bonomi. It's 70% of Chardonnay and 30% of Pinot Nero. And the Grande Annata, so when we have really good vintages, we decide to keep our Franciacorta for a longer time of the lease. So this Franciacorta has 6 years of aging on the lease. And we were awarded with 97 points by Wine Enthusiast, and also as 7 best wine of 2023. And it was a great honor and a great achievement for us.
Yes, indeed, it's very impressive. Actually, I would be happy to stop by your stand at Vinitaly and taste some of the labels. That would be really, really a pleasure.
Yeah, it would be great, and I really hope to see you there. We are in Hall 4, and the booth is E5, and we will have there all our Franciacorta. Another wine that we are presenting at Vinitaly, it's another Lucrezia, this time the Rosé. So you said before that you tasted a Rosé as one of the first wine from Castello Bonomi. And we are launching now our Franciacorta Riserva Lucrezia, Etichetta Rosé, and vintage 2011.
Yes, I'm very curious to taste. Really. Thank you so much for the invitation. I think it's not only me, but other wine enthusiasts, other ambassadors will be visiting Vinitaly and Opera Wine this year. And so you guys, you know where to find a good Franciacorta. Is it the Lombardy Hall? Right? Am I right?
No, actually, we're in the Veneto Hall. Veneto Hall. The Hall 4, it's the one for Veneto, because since we have Casa Paladin as a main headquarter, we have there all the wines from the different wineries.
Well, that makes it even more interesting. So once you're at the stand, it's not only Franciacorta, but also other wines of your estate. Quite interesting. I will stop by, definitely. We'll agree about the timing afterwards, okay?
Yeah, sure. It will be great to have you there. And also all other ambassadors are invited.
Thank you so much. And what would be, what is your favorite wine of Castello Bonomi and why?
It's so difficult to choose one. Actually, I mean, probably it's also the Lucrezia, also because it a wine that has taught us the way to be like patient and to wait time to have such a great wine and a great Riserva. So as when we acquired Castello Bonomi in 2008, Luigi Bersini was already the enologist of the winery. And he still is. And one of the the most important thing that we learned also from Castello Bonomi and from him, it's the respect for the terroir, and also to be patient and to keep waiting to have such great results also for the quality of our wines.
Everything takes time, especially winemaking and excellence, and it really takes time. You know, I want to ask, you come from a winemaker's family, and you're connected to all these estates, and what do you actually do as a family? What other activities besides spending time at the winery? Is there any passion of yours, I don't know, like in sports or arts or any other thing that you enjoy?
I really like also, so part of the sustainability and also being in nature. So I love going skiing, I love kayaking, and also running or doing hiking also with my family. So it's very nice. And we are like so lucky to be here and to have like this diversity of places so easily reachable from our house.
Yeah, indeed. I remember visiting Casa Paladin, and you have this very special garden of different vines. Can you tell a little about it? I saw it, I think, a couple years ago. I think it grew and became even more beautiful. But how did you improve it, and what was the idea behind this garden?
This is a didattic vineyard that we have, which is called Il Tempo della Vite, so the time of the vine. So it's 1 hectare of vineyard that we decided to do both as research and also as a didactic vineyard. So it's divided in 2 areas. In the right part, we have the historical vineyards, where we wanted to show all the different types also of farming system that are present in Italy, but also worldwide, and that are important also in the history of viticulture. So we have the Bellucera, which is farming system really typical of the eastern part of Veneto area. Then we have the married vineyard. So there was a type of farming system used in the past. We have the Alberello, which is more typical like in Sicily, going to the Vite Strisciante, which is the vine just left by itself. And we did it also planted different kind of varieties. So you can also see and touch with your hands the difference, like on the leaves of the grapes, on the berries of the grapes. So, for example, looking at the same in a really short area, like to the Traminer grape, which is like more pinky, and to the Pinot Grigio, which is like more similar to a red grape variety than to a white grape variety. And we also planted some resistant varieties. And then another project we are doing, we have a gallery where you can go underneath and see also the roots of the vines, which is really nice because usually you're not used to see them. And it's a project that we are developing with different universities of Milan, of Brescia, of Padova, and of Venice.
Are students coming there for educational purposes?
Yeah. And it's open to also different kinds of students, so for all types of age. So from universities, but also for students of elementary school or high school.
It's very interesting. Sounds like a lot of fun. Once you're interested in the wine, you really want to know all the aspects, how the vine grows, and, you know, seeing the roots, seeing different colors and shapes of bunches. And that sounds really fascinating, actually.
Yeah, and we also have an aroma garden. So we planted different essences that are the most typical essence for the scents that you find in the wine. So, for example, we always say that the Sauvignon Blanc has a tomato leaves scent. But actually, maybe a lot of people live in cities and don't know what is the smell of the tomato leaf. And so we have tomato leaf plants, so people can actually smell the leaf and then find it also in the glass of wine.
What a great idea. Back to nature, right? All the way.
Yeah, exactly. And also because now a lot of tourists maybe know the wines, but they don't know what's behind the wine and how you grow the vineyard and the most also simple things to know to in viticulture. And here it's a way where you can actually see them in a small place and really going inside vineyards. So it's not like the typical kind of vineyard, but we have like paths really going inside this vineyard so you can really walk through it.
If somebody wants to visit you, what's the best way to book a ticket or how it's usually, how you get to see this beautiful place?
Yeah, we have our wine tours on our website in Casa Paladina. So people can just book the visit and come to see the vineyard.
Is the visit free or there's some fee? How is it?
We have a fee depending on the type of tasting they want to pair with the visit.
Okay. Thank you so much. I think
we usually do the wine tasting and also the visit of Il Tempo della Vite.
Well, yeah, definitely. It makes sense. Once you visit a vineyard, it's good to taste wine as well. We have just a few minutes left until the end of the session. I just want to remind our audience to ask questions if you have any. And I have a question to you, Francesca, maybe the last one or one of the last ones. Since you travel so much with your work and you talk to all these people about Franciacorta, about Castello Bonomi estate, is there something special that you learned maybe about your area that you couldn't see being in, you know? You couldn't see it from inside, but you learned something. You got some insight when traveling, when talking to people about Franciacorta.
Probably with the fact that we are so lucky and we sometimes don't realize it so much. And also the fact that you you need to get your mind inside other people once. So to make sure that you explain things in a simple way, because people that are living in different kind of cultures, they don't have your same mindset. And so you need to explain it to them in a simple way and more immediate.
And do people, when they hear about Franciacorta, usually you're the first producer that they taste, or they have some experience usually with the Franciacorta wines?
Now I think it's becoming to be a little bit like more popular. It's still quite a niche category also, because if you compare Franciacorta to other denomination, it's a lot smaller. So Franciacorta in total would be 20 million bottles, while if you go to Champagne, it's over 300,000. So it's still a small denomination, but people now know a bit more about Franciacorta. And also the consortium, it's doing a great work on this, on the promotion of the brand and of the promotion of the area.
Yeah, Consorzio, I think I subscribe to Instagram and social media of the Consorzio. They're doing these beautiful events. It looks like, I don't know, Cannes Festival, like some film festival. All these beautiful people with glasses and beautiful dresses. They really are doing a great job expressing this good vibe of beautiful sparkling wine of Franciacorta area. It's really about posh lifestyle, but also being close to the nature to enjoy simple things, enjoying good food. You know, to me, Franciacorta is all about pleasures of life.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Well, thank you so much, Francesca. I think I will give the floor back to Laika, since it's already the time to finish our interview. Laika?
Hi. Okay, that was a very good discussion, especially when you cover about tourism, which is what really drives people to get to know about wine even more with tourism. Thank you so much for your time, and yeah, have a good day ahead. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Once again, here we go.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.